The Church Media Podcast, episode 108. Everything Your Church Needs to Know About Facebook Live with Daniel Ermler, part 2. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast,
the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world.
Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
The show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online now at the Church Media Podcast. Podcast.com. And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Welcome to episode number 108 of the podcast. I'm Carl Barnhill. Thank you for being here this week. If you've missed any one of our shows, or if you're just jumping in with us, check out the churchmediapodcast.com for all archive episodes of our show. You can listen there on our website or subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or by RSS feed. We have 107 shows that have come before this one, featuring interviews with the best in church media, Christian music, and more. We've had everyone from church media consultant Phil Cook to Phil Vischer of What's in the Bible and VeggieTales, John Schlitt of Petra, Joel Smallbone, who you may know as the lead singer of For King and Country, Jason Roy, the lead singer of Building 429, Kirk Cameron, Sandy Patty, and more. That's all in the archives at thechurchmediapodcast.com. Feel free to take a dive into the archives, jump around. The show is based on topic, so nothing is, unless it's by parts, it's not really, there's no need to go sequentially unless it's we're doing a part one, part two type of thing. So you can bounce around to different topics if you want. Thechurchmediapodcast.com is where you go for that. All right, this week I welcome back Daniel Ermler to the podcast. Dan is the founder of churchhacks.com, among other companies that help churches across the country. Today on the show, Dan and I will be continuing our discussion on Facebook Live, and we'll also talk about broadcasting your service. Part two of my interview with Dan Ermler on Facebook Live is coming right up.
And now, your church media resource of the week.
Software, websites, gadgets, and tools that will resource your creativity and your ministry.
Hey guys, at 1230 Media, we want to help you transform your worship experience. One way we're doing this is by creating high-quality, low-cost media content for churches of all sizes. With our Go Unlimited subscription plan, we're making all of our worship media products available to you at a low monthly cost. We're continually filling our online store with mini-movies, which are short-form sermon illustration videos you can use as sermon bumpers, openers, or a transitional element within your worship experience. We're offering service packs, which consist of a collection of matching countdowns, motions, and stills for your screens. We've got our signature series in a box sermon kits that are packed with everything you need for a successful sermon or event series at your church. We've loaded each box with graphic design elements, their editable Photoshop files, social media squares and banners, and other graphics. We provided video content with weekly sermon bumpers, trailers, countdowns, and motion graphics. We've also written an entire series curriculum for you as teaching booklets that you can use or adapt for your series. Each booklet contains sermon overviews, outlines, small group discussion questions, even social media post ideas. And we're including our library of ready-to-use song videos perfect for creating memorable moments with your adults, kids, and student worship experience. With our Go Unlimited plan, you can download as many mini-movies, service packs, series in a box, or song videos that you want. And we're filling up our store every month with fresh content. Our full library of ready-made worship media content is at your fingertips. Check out our Go Unlimited plan and get started today.
To subscribe to the show, access archive episodes, and get tons of free resources for your production team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com today. This is an exclusive interview from the Ministry of 1230 Media. Here is Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
What about framing your shot? Where should I be in the auditorium? How close do I need to be? That sort of thing.
Yeah, it depends on how many cameras you want. Typically, we're helping churches. We're just trying to help them go from no live stream setup to a live stream setup, and we did this all through a course. And so we were just going with a two-camera setup. So we had your center camera, which was, you know, stage middle, right on the speaker, a little bit up close. Not one of these super up close. So, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, you got a whole, probably from waist up. So that kind of shot. And then we did another camera in the back of the auditorium that was kind of your wide shot. So that was probably stage left, you know, all the way in the back and kind of gave you your wide. And between those two shots, we really got everything we wanted. Again, that's just starting with a low. Now, if we added a third camera, we'd probably put it up closer and give maybe a more dramatic shot from, you know, stage right, kind of closer to the stage, kind of looking up at the stage. We probably do one of those. Again, we typically try to work on a budget, and so we're just assuming, okay, the church, they want to get into live streaming. They're thinking about using a cell phone, and we're like, no, don't do that. And so they have a few thousand dollars, but they don't have, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 to put into, you know, something that's going to rotate and camera booms and all that kind of stuff to get your motion in. So just a very simple setup. So typically, you have your first camera, which is just center stage, and then you have another camera that's just off of stage, just giving you your wide shot, and then you in your broadcast software or your ATEM switch, you're switching between those views.
What about music and CCLI licensing? How do I need to protect myself from broadcasting music and songs and things like that?
Yeah, one, don't assume. Like we work with some very traditional churches, and you'd be amazed at how many hymns are still under copyrights. I mean, you think a hymn, you know, that doesn't have a copyright on it, but a lot of hymns still have, so there's some hymns with still copyrights on them. And so one, just don't assume. Assume that. I feel like in the Christian world, we, you know, ask for forgiveness later. And that's not a great testimony. There are people whose livelihoods depend on writing music and putting out music. And so I think we need to be above board. So one, just don't assume it is, and then just make sure your licensing's covered. So typically, again, if you're broadcasting a worship song, you really do need to make sure that CCLI licensing is covered. And just because you got it for the words on your screen does not mean you can actually broadcast the music. It's actually a different type of licensing. So, I know most churches don't do this, but I would not recommend that. You could end up in some hot water just from going live with your services.
Okay, let's talk next steps. What if my church is already streaming? We already got something going on, whether that's on, a mobile device or we have a great setup or whatever. What are some next steps that we can take to get better?
Yeah. So you could look at a camera, maybe upgrading the type of camera you're using. Blackmagic makes some incredible broadcast quality cameras. I'm a big fan of Blackmagic stuff. They do a great job. I like their switches. I know there's some other companies that work on that. So you could look at maybe upgrading your camera. We've used the C100, C200. C200 just came out. But some of these, some of Canon's broadcast or higher-end cameras. What's cool about that is you're also getting a good cinema camera that you can use on other types of shoots, not just in your service. But what I've found for most churches is the cameras that they use for the live streaming typically just stay there all week long. They don't often get moved, but you may want to look at upgrading your camera. Again, the Canon VIXs tend to be the bottom of the line. What you're getting with that is clean HDMI out, which is fantastic. That's how you get the whole live stream thing going. But you could look at a better camera. So a camera that's going to have a better lens on it, it's going to have better low light performance. And so there, you may look at upgrading your camera. Even with the cheaper, I know we didn't talk about this earlier, but even with the cheaper cameras, you're not going to want to use HDMI to run your cables. Our church started with a very simple live stream setup, and a lot of the churches that we've helped have started with very simple live stream setups, but we have not used HDMI. We do recommend using SDI cabling. It just allows you to run hundreds of feet. It's super stable. It's so much smaller than HDMI. It's actually cheaper. cheaper in the long run. And you basically just buy these little SDI to HDMI converters. And so from coming out of the camera, typically you have HDMI, so you'll just convert it right out of the camera. It'll go into this little converter and it'll convert it to SDI. And then you run the SDI cable a few hundred feet and then you convert it back to HDMI. And then you run it. Or if you have like the ATEM switch, you don't have to do that. You can actually run the SDI right into the ATEM switch and then you can go into your broadcasting. I feel like I need a whiteboard. I'm sorry. I'm kind of like, I see it all in my head, but I don't know if it's going to make it out to the audio. Yeah. But even if you're just getting started, don't mess around with HDMI. It's awful. It's horrible. You'll hate your life. Go with SDI. It's much better than, for keeping the signal clean and strong and running.
How often should I look at upgrading my gear?
Depends. Did you buy cheap gear?
Yeah.
So, and I know, so I was one of those people who 5-6 years ago bought a, 5 years ago, I bought a C100 right when it came out, a Canon C100 right when they released them. And I'll be honest, that camera is a workhorse. I used it for 5 years consistently. Now it was an expensive camera at the time. I think we paid about 10 grand for it, eight to 10 grand. But it really held up. Like it really held up long term. Now I don't think most churches are just going to throw down. You know. I think the C200 just came out. It's a great camera. It's going to be around the $7,000 range. But I would say this: you'll probably have it for a good 5 years. Now, if you're buying equipment that is 5 years old, or you're buying equipment that is not really that higher end. You may have to look at upgrading every few years. If you really buy good equipment now, you may be shocked at how long it lasts you. I know I'm a big Canon fan, and I know on specs, when you sit down, spec-wise, Canon doesn't always live up to the specs, but they're workhorses. I mean, they really are. Canon, for some reason, just they do really well. And so and I know there's other devices out there. I know there's other cameras you could use or other gear you could use. But so as far as replacing your gear, it really depends. If you're kind of if you're going cheap gear now, or you decided not to heed my advice and you're getting all DSLR, yeah, probably within a year you'll be switching out to like a broadcast. Just because it's not going to hold up as well. So typically it's going to be around, 4 to 5 years. But again, if you're not getting good equipment, it may be as little as 2 to 3 years, unfortunately.
You talked a little bit about this earlier, but walk through, and these are very important, I think, for again, churches who might already be doing live streaming of some kind. So talk to me about your capture device, your stream, what kind of streaming software to get, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So let me go through some of this. So it all starts with the camera that has clean HDMI out or clean SDI out. So your SDI out cameras, that's your higher end broadcast. So those are going to be pretty expensive. So again, like the C300 would have an SDI out. The Blackmagic, like the Ursa and the Ursa Mini, as well as their broadcast camera, they would have SDI. And those cameras are starting around $2,000-$3,000. I think Blackmagic makes one that's basically just a screen, a sensor. And I think that one starts around $1,500. So it's probably one of the cheapest as far as SDI out. Now, when you go to clean HDMI out, there's the G7, the Panasonic G7 that will give you clean HDMI out. And that is actually a fantastic camera. I mean, if you're looking for a mirrorless, but as far as broadcast goes, we recommend the Canon VIXA. And it's not that, again, I think it's, if I remember correctly, it's around the $300 to $500 range. And I know there's like three different kinds of Canon VIXA, and really any of them will work because they all have this clean HDMI out. From your feed, you're going to go in, and even if you're coming out SDI, that's great because you're going to run an SDI cable all the way to your switcher. If you're running HDMI out, clean HDMI out of the camera, you really do need to convert that to SDI. Then you're going to go into your switcher, which is your typical, it's actually what's doing all the computer. It's doing all the hard lifting. It's taking those video signals in, and it's getting them all to mesh together. So I recommend the Blackmagic ATEM switch. They just upgraded it this year. So there used to be this ATEM switch that looked really like it was just belonged in a rack, but the new ATEM switch, wow, it's beautiful. It has some really cool upgrades to it. And the best part is it's around $1,000. So again, you're getting a few cameras, you're getting this ATEM switch, you're getting some SDI, HDMI to SDI converters, and then you're getting some SDI cabling. As far as software goes, now, again, because your switcher is doing your heavy lifting, so that's actually switching between scenes. So that's what, and then your switcher is going to put out a signal. It's going to put out a feed, and you're going to run that feed into a computer. So you need a capture card on your computer. I know most computers have HDMI, but that's HDMI out. That's not HDMI in. So you're going to need a capture card on your computer, or what you need is like a Thunderbolt. A lot of the HDMI have basically Thunderbolt in or HDMI 3 in. So sometimes the switcher would have that. Typically, if I remember correctly, the ATEM switches have Thunderbolt in. And then from there, you can run it into a software like OBS. There's Wirecaster, and Wirecaster is awesome, and it has a lot of good features. Again, it's not free, so if you're trying to save some money, OBS is awesome, because really all you're doing in OBS is you're just pushing that signal to Facebook Live. So again, it starts in the camera, you go through some SDI cabling, you go into your switcher. From your switcher, you're going into your computer. Software that's your presentation or your broadcast software, and then from there you're going to Facebook Live. So I hope I covered that all.
Yeah. Okay, let's switch gears and talk about doing a broadcast that's not your worship service. Okay?
Yeah.
So why should I do a Facebook Live broadcast just generically during the week, not my worship service?
Yeah, this is actually more native to Facebook. And when you think of Facebook, it's a place to share your personal experiences. And so as much as a worship service is a part of that, really more native content would be, here's a pastor on a Monday morning saying, hey, here's an experience I had on Sunday and I want to share it. So it's actually going to do, it's more built for the platform, let's put it that way. So I know there's a lot of people who they're only putting out on Facebook Live their services. And I think that's a mistake. I think they need to be using it on both. They need it from a pastor, again, on your personal profile, make a video saying, man, here's something that happened on Sunday. And then maybe the church Facebook is sharing that video. So, again, it's going to do really well as far as Facebook Live. Now, as a whole, everything that Facebook puts out, these fantastic reports as far as what live video is doing, typically live videos viewers will stay on 3 times longer on a live view than they would on a typical video. So Facebook Live is doing fantastic from an engagement standpoint. So again, don't ignore it during the week. And I think a lot of churches are making this mistake. And we talked about it earlier in this interview, Carl, but to go live used to cost thousands of dollars. I mean, $20,000, $30,000 in equipment. Beyond that, the services to actually stream it live, I mean, cost hundreds of dollars a month, if not thousands. Now, with a cell phone during the week and an internet connection and Facebook, I mean, it's free and you can go live. So I hope more churches start just planning out a live stream broadcast just weekly. And so is it okay if I take a moment and just kind of walk through how you can do this and not stress you out?
Yeah.
Yeah. So one, just keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Don't try to overthink what your broadcast needs to be, and be careful about comparing to somebody else. So if you do see someone broadcasting during the week right now, it's going to be a large mega church. That's maybe doing like, it almost looks like Dr. Phil with that pastor. And usually they're great. I watch them. They're fantastic. Don't feel like you have to be that. Okay. So just keep it simple. So you may say, hey, every Monday I'm going to come on and I'm going to do a live video, and it's just going to be from a story on Sunday. You know, some teacher did this. Somebody at the door said this, and you're just going to share a story. But every Monday at 10 a.m., you're going to get on, share that story, and that's going to be your live video. So number one, just keep it simple. Don't overthink it. You don't need a set. You don't need to get big lighting. You just need to keep it simple. Next, create a system. So when you have a system, it makes it easier. So a system for live video is just, hey, 10 a.m., I'm going to go live. I'm going to shoot it with my cell phone. If you're shooting with a cell phone, don't feel like you have to do it horizontal. I'll give you a secret. Actually, as I'm watching a lot of the analytics, vertical is actually performing well because most people watch videos on their cell phone and they're not scrolling through their cell phone horizontally. When you scroll through your cell phone, you're holding it normally and you're just kind of pushing your finger down. When you're recording video, just have a system that basically I'm going to pull out my cell phone at 10 a.m. I'm going to talk about this topic and make sure you maybe have a mic nearby. So you want to have Rode makes these really good mics that you can plug right into your cell phone. So your cell phone will give you some nice video and that mic will give you good audio, and then just go live and keep it short. So that those are just things. Simple, create a system and keep it short. If you do that on Facebook Live, you're going to win. You're going to be shocked at how well those videos go over.
So tell me about, you talked about length. Give me a good length. You say short. What is short?
Okay, so Facebook Live is changing all the rules. So, like, literally, there are Facebook Live posts that just keep going on. We've seen them. There's a little, here's a smiley face, like if you like this. Here's a sad face. I mean, those Facebook Live go on for hours and hours and hours. If you're just doing one yourself, typically most of your audience isn't going to be on during that live. It takes a while to get an audience used to live video. So at the beginning, you're not going to have a lot of people jumping on your live broadcast. Most people will be watching in the replay. And so if you're thinking like a replay video, I mean, you really just think, a few minutes is max that you're going to have people on. Again, with keeping it simple, creating a system, keeping it short, you may want to track your stats, actually go into your videos and see how long people stay on. It's not long. I mean, it's 10, 20, 30 seconds people are on. So just think about that in the terms of a 5-minute video. That's not long that you have on. So it depends on your audience. It depends on how well they know you. It depends on what you're trying to accomplish. But typically, just keep it within a few minutes. And now I have a private Facebook group with about 1,000 people in it. I go long. I have a 15 to 20 minute broadcast typically. But they're a group who kind of know me and they kind of know that structure. It's such a tough question. If you're getting most of your views in the replay, not on the live, then maybe keep it short. But you don't have to. You really don't have to. I wish there was a set and fast rule. And I know sometimes we like rules, but I would say this: don't if you're doing your Monday morning videos that are on telling a story, keep it the same length every time. Don't go 5 minutes week one, 5 minutes week two, 5 minutes week three, then week four. Hey, it's 30 minutes later, and you're wrapping up the story. Try to keep some consistency. That does help viewers. Think of it kind of like a show.
What about people that think, I don't know what to say? I don't really have much to talk about. Can you give me some pointers on maybe some low-hanging fruit content from their church or from their ministry that they can talk about?
Yeah. Share stories. Share personal stories from people in your church of things that are happening. I think sometimes as staff at a church, we just kind of, I know we don't assume this, but it kind of happens. Stories don't always trickle down. And in a church, sometimes you'll be sitting there and you'll hear a great story like, man, that member, did that for another member who was sick and at home and wasn't able to make it to church that day, and they went and visited them and took them, their small group did something for them. Facebook Live is amazing for telling stories in your church. It's amazing. Another thing for Facebook Live is prayer. I think prayer is super important, and there is something cool about going on and in real time being able to take prayer requests and then just there on the live stream praying. You grew up in a pastor's home. You know how important it was in us as children seeing our parents, in the Word praying. I think about my mom, and almost every morning I can come down, come downstairs and see her, and there she would be with her Bible open, be early, and she was just there. And those were vivid memories in my mind. Those help shape me as a Christian. And I think it, not for your church as a pastor, these times of prayer through using Facebook Live can really be helpful for your church. Again, I'm not saying just do it out of a don't take it like, oh, Ben, you're just saying pray for the sake of, you know, showing what it looks like. No, prayer because prayer works. We've seen prayer work in amazing ways. So pray because prayer works, but then also pray because it's such a great example for people in your church. And so prayer is a really easy way to do that. Another thing, so we talked about sharing stories, we talked about prayer, but also a really good thing to do is recap Sunday's messages. Take some time. I mean, you think about how many hundreds of hours that the church, as a church collectively, we put into Sunday morning services. Why not take a little bit of time, 5 minutes during the week, and just say, hey, let's recap. What did we learn about on Sunday? So that's a really simple one. And then lastly, this is just something, Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, give a bumper, give a spill, talk about what you're preaching on Sunday. Those are just really easy Facebook Live videos that you can do, and you can start using this week. I would say this, don't worry about professionalism. Just start doing it. And I fall into this trap. I want to have, you know, the best looking lights, and I want to have the best setup, and I want to do it. Don't even worry about that. Think about some of the top marketers today. Their stuff doesn't look great. They're just going live. And so pastor or ministry leader or staff member, don't worry about that. Don't worry about looking great. Just worry about, you know, hey, getting comfortable in front of the camera, you know, doing it consistently. And then as you are comfortable and you have done it consistently, maybe investing in some better gear.
Well, dude, thank you so much for all this insight. Wrap it up for us. Anything else that I didn't ask you, or maybe some parting thoughts on Facebook Live and broadcasting our content?
Yeah, Facebook, there are 2 billion people on Facebook. It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, it's a massive amount of people. And most of the people in your city are on Facebook. The majority of people in the city that you live are on Facebook. We are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I am. I'm an old school confrontational evangelist type guy. And I look at the ability to reach your community through a system like Facebook. And again, it's not going to disciple them. It's not gonna be their small group. That isn't the place for it, but it's a great place to make first connections. It's a great place for, as a pastor who's limited in time and limited in bandwidth, to be able to connect with his church as well as his community. So this is amazing. I know it's tough because as ministry leaders and as people, it always feels like we're just getting one more thing added to our to-do list. But I think Facebook Live is so revolutionary, and Facebook as a whole, just being able to connect with people so easily, it's maybe worth reviewing your daily to-do list or your weekly to-do list and think, is there something I can remove so I can put, you know, being consistent on a Facebook Live broadcast on there. It's interesting. I was talking to a pastor who had really kind of avoided Facebook. You know, he had really avoided using Facebook or using live video. And just recently, I mean, in the last couple months, he started using it. And he said, Dan, you would be shocked at how the perception of the church has changed by me just being on Facebook. Like, people just feel more connected to me. And so if you're a pastor and you've kind of said, man, I just, you know, I think Facebook is for the young people, it's for the millennials, I would say no, it's a great opportunity for you to connect to your church as well as your community. And it's a gift. It's a beautiful gift. Before, connecting with your community was taking a night off and heading down to the local assembly hall and meeting everybody. Now connecting with your community can be you putting up a live video and then actually boosting it, you know, and it actually gets out to your community. So this is just amazing. We live in amazing times. And I would just say, please don't ignore Facebook. There's probably something else on your schedule that you might want to pull down. And again, it doesn't take hours out of your week. We're talking maybe an hour max. We're talking about 1 hour, and you can really make a big difference online and connecting with people. So I think it's something worth looking into.
Well, man, thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate it. Your ministry is killing it. I mean, you guys doing church hacks and coming out with Church Hero and all kinds of stuff that you're doing, helping churches. It's humbling to watch you guys grow, and it's exciting, and I really appreciate your time And you're just awesome. I really appreciate
it. Thanks, Carl. I appreciate it. You've been, likewise, you've been a huge encouragement. I know you got some really big stuff planned come out here in the next couple months, and we're looking forward to co-partnering with you on that and pushing out and telling our audience about it. So there's just, man, we love what's happening at 1230 Media. I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate your time. And maybe the fourth time, you know, if I have you back again, it means that we're really connected.
Oh, man. Or it's just to chew me out. Be like, Daniel, you failed. You know, I just had to have you on here to publicly let people know I'm disowning you.
Yeah. So, well, thanks a lot, man.
No, I appreciate being able to be on.
Yeah, no problem.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media. For more interviews, training, and exclusive content for your production team, visit 1230.media/training.
Hey guys, Carl here. I want to tell you about some great partners of ours over at churchbanners.com. From outside in your parking lot to inside your lobby, atrium, or sanctuary, Church Banners provides a huge selection of designs, which they will personalize free of charge for you. They print banners in many different sizes and for any season of the year. They have welcome banners, banners for Christmas, fall, Thanksgiving, Easter, or other holidays. They are a perfect fit with what we do here at 1230 in helping you transform your worship experience. They make the spaces in your church look awesome and can provide a great touch to the atmosphere you are creating for your congregation. They are owned and operated by believers with a heart to communicate the message of Jesus Christ through creative arts. Each banner design can be customized for your next sermon series, your Welcome Center, VBS, conference, or any experience that you are creating at your church. Right now, for a limited time, they're offering an additional 10% off their entire store. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to churchbanners.com/Carl. That's C-A-R-L. churchbanners.com/Carl. Be sure to catch all show notes, archive episodes, transcripts, and all kinds of free training material at our podcast URL, thechurchmediapodcast.com. You can get to this episode directly by visiting thechurchmediapodcast.com/108, as in episode number 108.
On the next Church Media Podcast,
we got a special treat for you guys next week. My friend David Olshine, who is a professor of youth ministry, family, and culture, will be joining me in the studio for the next few episodes. David teaches at Columbia International University and is the author or co-author on more than 18 books on ministry. We're going to talk about how to take care of yourself in ministry, feeding the forgotten soul, yours. It's going to be exactly what you need to hear, I promise. I was speaking at a youth leaders conference a couple of months back that David was one of the keynotes at, and I've asked him to share some of the same material because it was just so beneficial to guys and gals in ministry. I can't wait for him to talk to us next week. Don't miss my friend David Michael Hyde, our podcast producer. He's online at davidmichaelhyde.com. Please go visit him. He gets kind of lonely on his website, so feel free to check him out. davidmichaelhyde.com is where you go for that. And it's a privilege hanging out with you guys each week. Go out there and create some incredible experiences at your church this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com. We'll catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.